The first scripture reading tonight is Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 and 32 to 35. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but he is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. "For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "talk is cheap"? Raise your hand if you've heard that phrase. All of you. This is one of those things that you hear about everywhere. It's one of the sayings we use all the time, so much so that we hardly even notice when we say it. It's pretty much unquestioned today that talk is, in fact, cheap. But it's always good to think a bit more deeply about the things we say very often. Why is this statement true, we should ask? Well, for one, talk is cheap because we live in a world obsessed with words, spoken words, written words, digital words. Our world has even created artificial intelligence to assist in creating worlds. And by now, AI probably has generated billions upon trillions of words. In other words, talk is cheap, and it's getting cheaper. As she often does, Maya Angelou puts this better than most of us can. In her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she says, quote, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with shades of deeper meaning. That's true. Words mean something by themselves, sure, but context matters. Tone matters. I'm from the South, if you couldn't tell already, so I know firsthand there's a big difference in tone. There is a big difference between bless your heart and bless your heart. The way we say things shape what they mean. But even that doesn't quite get us all the way there. Because as the phrase talk is cheap suggests, people can sound quite convincing and still not mean a lick of what they say. Words can be polished, persuasive, and beautiful, all while being completely empty. We see this everywhere. This has become something all too common in the world today, where we see people's words misalign with their actions. In public life, promises are made but not kept. In workplaces, appreciation is spoken but not shown. And the scenarios get worse and worse. So many times, what we hear is completely separated from what we see and what we do. And before we point fingers, we have to admit we've done the same thing. Our talk has become cheap too. All of us know what it's like for our words to fall short of action. All of us know what it's like to say something and not follow through. But since it is so common, trust is eroding. Communication is breaking down. Words and actions are drifting further and further apart. And our talk is becoming cheaper and cheaper. We're getting to a point where our words mean less and less. So the question is, how do we restore meaning back to what we say? How do we make our talk less cheap? In this evening's scripture passage, Jesus knows that his time had come, so he prepares for his departure. There are many ways Jesus could have started his departure. He could have explained what's about to happen. He could have launched into one of his diatribes elsewhere in John. But he doesn't choose either of those. Instead, at supper, he chooses to get up, to wrap a towel around himself, pour water in a bowl, and begin to wash the disciples' feet. As you can guess, this was one of the lowest tasks there was, reserved for enslaved people in the ancient world. It was the type of work that no one wanted to do. But Jesus, the Lord of all, kneels down and takes their dusty, dirty, stinky feet into his hands and washes each and every one of them. When he gets to Peter, Peter starts talking. You're trying to wash my feet? You're crazy if you think I'm going to let you do that. But Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. So Simon Peter gets on board after that. He says, yeah, not only my feet, but my head and my hands too. Here we see Peter talk, but Jesus show. In this moment, Peter's words don't carry the same weight as Jesus's because of what Jesus is doing. After this, Jesus starts teaching, only after he washed their feet. As he does so, he doesn't mince his words. "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." The instructions are clear. There's no "do as I say, not as I do" from Jesus. No, it's "do just as I have done." Jesus backs up his teaching with his action. Jesus' words are far from cheap. And then he says something amazing. Jesus says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Here Jesus ties blessedness not to correct knowledge or doctrine, but action. All this time, we've been taught that blessedness comes from believing the right things, knowing the right doctrine, or having the right answers. But Jesus says blessedness comes when your life looks like love. Being blessed is what happens when our words match our action, when what we know matches how we love others. All of Jesus' words, that's what makes them so valuable, that they're put through a lens of action, a lens of sacrifice, a lens of love. That's what makes them worth keeping. Not because he said and knew the right things, but because he preceded and postceded them with action. And the takeaway from the Last Supper is that we're tasked with the same, to precede and postcede our words with action. So I wonder, what would it look like for us to live into this commandment, to do just as I have done, Jesus said? What would change if our words started carrying weight once again? Imagine, if you will, a world where we say, "I'm praying for you," and then actually stopping right then and there to pray. Imagine saying, "Let me know if you need anything," and then checking in until they do let you know. Imagine saying, "All are welcome," and then making space at the table. Imagine being a part of a community where words are always backed up by love. That's the world I want to live in, and that's the world Jesus taught us how to create. So the good news is this: we don't have to live in a world where talk is cheap. The good news of Maundy Thursday is that we get a clear path to restoring meaning back into what we say. Jesus has shown us a new way, another way, where love takes on flesh, where words are backed up by action, and where what we say becomes what we do. That's exactly what Jesus invites us into today. Embodied love, matching the world we say we're making. And doing this is how we'll be seen as Jesus' disciples. Because for the rest of the world, talk is cheap, but not for Jesus. So from today on, let our words follow our actions. They'll mean more, much more that way. In the words of Maya Angelou, our actions are how our words are given the context that gives them their weight and their importance. Let's surround our words with action so that there's no question that, like Jesus, our talk is no longer cheap. Talk may be cheap, and it may be getting cheaper, but it doesn't have to. May it be so. Amen.